Guys, this is Joe just popping in to ask if you've signed up for your free marketing consultation with MDT Marketing yet. If you haven't, head to mdtmarketing.com/edup, submit your information, get your free consultation today. Don't do it alone. Find the right partner. Welcome back, everybody. It's your time to ed up on the Ed Up Experience podcast, where we make education your business. Dr. Joe Sallustio here with you again. Very excited about my guest today. Very, very, very excited about my guest today. Mildly excited about my guest co-host, Julian Alsted from Unmuddle. Actually, Julian, I am very excited to have you back. I hope you're doing well. I'm just giving you a hard time because this is your second time being here. So I feel like I can give you that hard time. How are you?
Excellent. I am well, Joe. You know, I guess as a newbie, I get to like carry the water on the sideline for the big stars like you.
I'm going to go ahead and need green M&Ms only, Julian. Green M&Ms only moving forward. I got the brown M&Ms and the yellow M&Ms you sent me, and it's just not going to work. I'm a green M&Ms guy, Julian. That's it. You got to get it right.
All right.
No, I'm really appreciative to have you back, and of course, the work you're doing at Unmuddle. To bring community college education in a marketplace to colleges and universities and to businesses is an incredible effort. How are things going?
Things are going well. We're at a pretty exciting point now where we've spent the last year stress testing the marketplace from all angles, and now we're really building out our partnerships with employers and college partners and of course learners.
Well, speaking of stress testing, my audio interface isn't working appropriately today. So I'm going to see some, I might hit a sound effect, and the audience that is listening to me by now knows I like to hit sound effects buttons, and I might hit something and act like I've hit something and even try to joke about it. And on the other end, somebody's going to hear silence. So this will be a really fun experience. And there's no one that I can think of that is more prepared to handle this fun experience than my guest today. And I would hit the applause button, but I know that one does not work. So rather than that, I'm going to hit this to introduce her, because she is just out of this world amazing. Here she is, ladies and gentlemen. Her name is Renee Patton. She's the Global Director of Healthcare and Education Industries at Cisco. And that's just you breaking glass ceilings, Renee. How are you?
Hi, Joe. So nice to be here with you and Julian today. It's a pleasure. I like the sound effect. I'll imagine applause.
There you go. it's just like overwhelming applause too, and I can't believe it doesn't work. But anyway, you know what? I'm not known for my technical expertise at this point, Renee. However, you might be. And so I thought, it'd be really great to hear you just kind of level set for the audience. For anybody that has any interest in technology or education understands what Cisco is and what Cisco does. But let's just assume there's somebody out there that doesn't know Cisco and doesn't know the part that Cisco plays in the healthcare and education industries. What do you do as a global director for Cisco? What is Cisco, and how do you bring it all together in healthcare and education?
Well, Joe, Cisco, you know, a lot of people think of Cisco as being the plumbers of the internet. So we literally, you know, started building the internet many, many years ago. So we absolutely are that. But we also provide all different kinds of technologies to colleges and universities, everything from wireless networking technologies, certainly security, which was one of the most critical technologies that we see out there today, a whole range of collaboration solutions, smart campus, Internet of Things. So we have 135,000 SKUs at Cisco. So we sell a whole lot of product. And what we do within my team is we really focus on the key careabouts within higher education. So what are our higher ed customers trying to accomplish? And then importantly, how can we help them with solutions that really help them to achieve their goals and objectives? So that's everything from secure hybrid learning to make sure that they have safe and secure campuses. Everything related to, esports programs, equipping the workforce of the future. So we do a whole lot of things in education. And so I lead the practice around higher education.
So three things you said in there are pretty incredible, right? Hybrid learning, which has never, I think, been more discussed than it is today because of COVID. Two, safety on campuses, which is always a huge issue in Title IX and all those things that go on. And then third, esports, which is like, first of all, super cool. And I think colleges and universities are coming around the idea that this could be a recruitment tool, and there's a whole ecosystem of learning around it. What does the growth look like for Cisco right now? When you look at colleges and universities and they say, we need help with this, what is this right now?
Well, absolutely hybrid learning. So you hit on that first one, and it was kind of interesting when the pandemic hit. So just a little bit of background. I mean, we've been in education for many, many years. And when COVID hit about 2 years ago, just 2 weeks before it hit, I was asked to take on the healthcare practice. And so we had to immediately get colleges and universities online overnight. So there were a lot of Band-Aid solutions out there, and universities were just trying to get their students online. And so really what we did was we helped them to make sure that they had not only best of breed hybrid learning solutions, but that they were secure. So we build security into everything that we do, from our collaboration technologies to all of our networking and wireless technologies. And so we've seen dramatic growth in terms of hybrid learning. We know the future is uncertain with COVID. We continue to see variants. So we know that there's no other company that can do secure hybrid learning in the same way that Cisco does. So I would say that's the number one growth area. And you mentioned it, esports. So we're seeing dramatic growth as well as, you know, students return to campus. They're looking for a different kind of experience when they get there. And so we're seeing the emergence of these different sort of programs around esports, even things like using the same collaboration technologies for student services, because there are a lot of health and well-being issues that need to take place on campus and really regardless of where students are. So all of that, Joe, really needs a solid core infrastructure. And that's what Cisco focuses on helping to deliver.
That's a lot.
Yeah, like, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot. And just the three areas you brought up, it's tremendous amount of work. One of the reasons I bring up esports, and admittedly, I have a PlayStation 5 in my household. Yes, I am a grown up, complete nerd. I play video games because it's my de-stressor. I don't go and do crazy things. I literally play video games. Judge me if you'd like. Judge me. Julian, stop judging me. Everybody else can judge me. So I'm interested in this whole esports thing. And you know, I feel like colleges and universities haven't fully grasped its potential yet. So talk about what esports can bring from the whole VR, AR, technology, security, you know, realm into colleges and universities. Are they understanding the benefits that something like esports can bring when it comes to what the future of education can look like?
Well, and I wonder how many of your listeners have children of their own or have seen people, you know, playing video games for years and with great consternation. So I remember my son, who's now 28, playing video games for hours on end and thinking, oh my gosh, where is this leading? So I think that's one of the reasons why they
it leads nowhere. You just do it. That's it. It just keeps going.
Yeah, we have a hard time kind of grasping that whole concept. And so it literally, we look at Salve Regina. So Julian, we're close to where you are,
yeah,
in Rhode Island. I mean, that really has been an opportunity for them to differentiate their university based on these programs that engage students in playing video games in a very competitive environment. And the other thing that's interesting about that is it gives them this purview into technology that they may have not previously had. So all of a sudden they start thinking about things like, oh my gosh, the wireless isn't, you know, the network's not fast enough, or I'm not able to access something, or they might have security alerts, or they might be, you know, targets for hacking. So it has them to think differently about technology. It exposes them to this. I think we're going to start seeing more and more students go into, you know, computer science, software engineering, because they see the connection between what they can do with these gaming environments and what they might want to do in the future.
Oh yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, and Julian, as I pass it to you, I have admitted it, one of my biggest regrets in life. It's not a huge regret, but it's a big one. I had a Division II soccer scholarship, Division II, a 50% soccer scholarship to attend Salve Regina University when I came out of my high school. And I hated school so much. Like that's my thing. I hated school with a passion. All I wanted to do was skip college and go to work, but I ended up going anyway. So I was so afraid to like be away from home and that I would hate school. I gave up that soccer scholarship to attend Salve Regina. I ended up going to the SUNY system in New York, but it is a big regret because I see that school and I'm like, whoa. So anyway, a little bit about me in my failure in life now.
Sounds like you did okay.
I'm doing okay.
Well, I'd actually like to bring us back a little bit to the topic of technology and learning. As much as I'd love to talk soccer and esports, which are quite important in my life. Well, not so much the esports. That's my kid upstairs who doesn't leave his room. But
Me to kids, guys.
You're right. So Renee, Unmuddle is helping community colleges in particular kind of compete through this marketplace and sort of the national global marketplace, which they're, you know, they're not really built to do necessarily. And obviously a big component of this is dependent. So we sort of help market their offerings, you know, hybrid, online, et cetera. A big component of this is really dependent on how the colleges use technology to deliver learning. And I was poking around a little bit in preparation for this discussion and saw that you said to EdScoop a few months back on a radio podcast, I guess, radio show, that before the pandemic, technology was for universities was a quote, a piece of the pie. And now it's becoming the underlying pie crust. And I guess my question for you is this, and you know, you talked about the explosion of hybrid learning. Where are we? Are we making the pie crust? And is it gluten-free? No, just kidding. I have gluten allergies.
Oh God, I love that question, Julian, because I do think we're getting to the pie crust. I mean, I think we're getting to the heart of learning. And it's kind of funny because, you know, technology so many years before the pandemic and it has been kind of a bolt-on. It's like, oh, maybe we should have an online learning program or maybe we should offer study abroad. And so I see now that technology is really becoming the underlying foundation of everything that colleges and universities do. So as they're developing their strategies and their plans for the future, technology is a critical component of that. And I think the other thing too that's been interesting about COVID is to see the creativity of our educators and our faculty members who've had to look at the technology and really figure out what are they trying to do from a pedagogical perspective and how does the technology help me to get there? And creativity like, you know, moving their dance classes out to the tennis courts, right? So they don't necessarily have to be in the gym, or using technology for synchronous learning, being able to engage one another and their faculty members, using collaborative team spaces to be able to really have this persistent ongoing dialogue, chat box for student services. So I think we're starting to see technology ingrained in the underlying, you know, fabric or infrastructure, the pie crust, as you say. So yes. Regardless of what happens in the future, I mean, they're building these foundations that will help them to better engage learners.
Yeah, no, that is great to hear. And it definitely jives with what we're seeing. I am interested though, since you really, you know, provide a lot of the, I'm going to move away from the pie analogy, but, you know, so much of the infrastructure and advise in the use of the technology tools. What are the biggest challenges you see colleges facing in this work?
Well, I think, you know, certainly one of the biggest challenges they have is being able to create engaging learning experiences for students. So I think, you know, students now, higher education has become, you know, students, it's almost like we have the consumerization of higher ed, and they want to be able to take classes anytime, anywhere, on any device. And we're certainly seeing that with faculty members and as well. They want to be able to have that flexibility to offer courses from anywhere. So I think one of the challenges is making sure that they have that persistent experience and that it's secure. So security is one of the biggest challenges that they call out on a regular basis. I mean, higher ed is such a target for security incursions and security breaches. I mean, the
crowd- Access denied.
Yeah.
That's just security.
Access denied.
Yeah.
You gotta have good security, right?
You do? You do?
I think those why are- is that so, Renee? Is it just because it's easy? Colleges and universities are just not ready for a evolved hack of some kind?
Yeah, I mean, you both know better than we all know this, that we prided ourselves on being open and creating this, you know, open environment, open access, being able to provide access to everyone. So, you know, they have the research data and information, they're receiving federal research grants, student information. I mean, student information, it's gold. So we're actually the world's biggest enterprise level security company out there. And it's kind of interesting because we do a lot of recruiting. So we recruit students out of higher ed. We recruit a lot of engineering students. And one of the first things we ask is, you know, did you teach them how to secure code? So we have to literally retrain them because they're great coders, but they don't necessarily build security into everything they do. So again, I do think they're a valuable target for hackers.
You know what's really scary about that? And Julian, I'll pass it to you. I know I interrupted you.
No, but
I think about this a lot because of security and what I do as a CEO and executive vice president is I got to protect the student data. We know that how important that is, but you think about other data breaches, like you get, your Yahoo email got breached or your Facebook was compromised. But when it comes to student data, there is everything there. It's the names and addresses, and it's your social security number, and it's your financial aid information, which includes references of people who you know, who you've provided phone numbers for, and it goes really, really deep. So it is gold for hackers because they can get everything out of that. Is there a realization from colleges and universities like, oh yeah, we really, really have to double down on this? Because I know there's Graham Leach-Bliley, and there's GDPR, and there's specific, you know, things that, you know, I'm trying to talk technically. Renee, you're just gonna have to stop me. Tell me to stop when I sound like an idiot. But there's all of these regulations around, you have to protect this stuff. But that's because, and those regulations exist because people aren't protecting them. And so we're told that we have to. Is there a realization that we really are susceptible in higher ed, or is it just an afterthought?
I think it's becoming a realization. I mean, I think that, you know, we see more and more security ops organizations within higher education. We see more CISOs being hired within higher ed. And it's kind of, there are a couple things. So there's the technology. So we have to make sure that we're building threat intelligence into the network. So one of the things that we can do is we can identify malware on an encrypted network without even, without decrypting the data. So we maintain that privacy. So I think the other thing, Joe, to your question about our universities realizing it. Well, when COVID hit and all of these, you know, everybody went home, all of these devices that were, many were untrusted devices, were going back in and trying to access the network. So we exponentially increased the threat surface with all of these, you know, multiple devices trying to connect to the network. So I think that was a huge realization. And then we are lucky at Cisco, not only because we're a security company, but we also have Cisco Talos, which is our intelligence group. It's one of the largest commercial threat intelligence teams in the world. So we have these world-class cybersecurity researchers who are out there and they're investigating all of these different cyber threats. And then when we're finding those issues or those threats, we can send that intelligence out to our whole entire worldwide network of customers who have Cisco technology. To apply those patches. So I think that we're starting to see greater realization kind of across the board in every industry.
If you're experiencing any level of marketing challenge right now, you've got to ask the hard questions and you need answers. Are you using the right mix of channels to get in front of your future students? Is your messaging personalized and delivered in a medium your audience and future students will respond to? And are you spending more time building reporting and listening in on what your students really want? All of these questions will get answered when you sign up for your free consultation with MDT Marketing. Head to mdtmarketing.com/edup, submit your information, and talk to MDT. Don't go it alone. Find the right partner. The guys at MDT, the team at MDT is absolutely amazing. Whether your challenge is the cost of inquiries, your melt, your branding, the bad and incomplete information that come with your inquiries, whatever it is, an audit of your challenges will help your institution, and it's free. mdtmarketing.com/edup. Well, Julian, hold on 1 second. I'm going to ask one more, and then, I'm going to pass the whole rest of the thing to you.
Huh? No. I just am like loving the security conversation, but.
I got to ask Renee this. If I lose it, I'm not going to remember. And Renee, this is an important. Let's see if you hear my music. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it.
I
heard it, but I'm not sure what it was.
Oh, this is my game show music. This is where I ask you a question kind of unrelated. See, usually there's a setup. I'm like, hey, this is happening, and then here's my game show music. This is for no money, Renee, but I do like to ask a personal question of every guest to find out something about you and your personality. No, too personal. So as we're talking about security here. But what song, Renee, I want to know what song would be your entrance music if it would be playing every time you stepped on stage, gave a keynote, stepped into a room, a meeting with your staff, whatever. What would be your entrance music, a la like WWF wrestling, if you had to be announced by music?
I would say ABC by the Jacksons.
Why? Why do you pick that?
Because I think it's about the basics, right? And I love when I think about the ABCs, you know, that's all about education. And, you know, I started my career, by the way, I should tell you and Julian, I started my career as a high school teacher. So I was a high school English and French teacher and loved it. I mean, it was amazing. And then I was a school board member. And then I went into, you know, technology back in 1995. And I came to Cisco 17 years ago to manage the federal E-rate program. And have been in education since then. And I think so many of our conversations around how do we take care of the basics so we can innovate for the future? And so I think that's the song. Do you know that song, Joe?
Of course. Are you kidding? Of course. Yes. As I'm playing video games, I have that playing in the background. It's really funny when I ask people this, how closely they connect these songs to their jobs. And that makes total sense for somebody that's always looking at complex technologies to bring it back down to basics, because you can get lost in the weeds. And it's really funny. Julian, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm particularly interested in delving a little further into, well, community colleges in particular. That's, again, that's who I'm primarily working with. Mm-hmm. And with regard to security, I just heard the other day that, you know, there's been sort of a rash of community colleges facing, you know, that have been victims of ransomware attacks. And mm-hmm. last week, Butler County, I believe it was, Community College in Pennsylvania, and Lewis and Clark mm-hmm. in Illinois were both like brought to their knees, you know, just completely mm-hmm. shut down. And my question is this, and I actually just in my last job came from leading workforce development for the community college system in Rhode Island. Community colleges are not very well resourced. Mm-hmm. And technology costs a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so are you seeing, you know, I know you talk a lot about the digital divide out there in the world, and we can get to that later, but I'm interested in a little bit of the digital divide in higher ed, because, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of vulnerable institutions out there, and how can they deal with that?
Yeah, yeah.
Apart from getting loads of money handed to them.
Yes, yes. So it's a great question, Julian. And one of the other things that is, you know, impressive about Cisco is our Cisco Networking Academy program, which has been around for over 25 years. And it's literally our largest philanthropic program. We've put 12.5 million students through the program since inception. And it's been designed for high schools, community colleges, and four-year institutions. So a lot of times people think of it as, oh, it's that voc-ed program, but it really is so much more than that. And what it is a program that provides students with pathways for careers in IT. And so it typically what happens, we give colleges, you know, community colleges, universities, discounts on lab equipment. So we help them to set the labs up, steep discounts on lab equipment, and then we give them all the content and curriculum and the testing for free. And so on a community college campus, they can literally create courses, Cisco Networking Academy courses for, you know, skills in basic IT, basic networking, cybersecurity, the Internet of Things. And then they can start getting prepared to take the Cisco certification exam. So that's the way that we've been closing the digital divide, is with the Networking Academy program. Some community colleges don't even have the resources to set up a lab. So what we just launched in the last 6 months is a program called Skills for All from Cisco Networking Academy. So these are online courses that are free. Anybody can take them. And you can literally do online courses and start getting prepared to take these certification exams in all these different technology areas. And then a lot of students will go back and work with their community colleges to help them with their technology solutions. We have a NetAcad, in fact, in Rhode Island, at the Community College of Rhode Island. So we have a lot of, you know, deep ties there as well.
Yeah, no, and that's where I was. So I know it well. I'm interested in with Cisco Academy, and the it's interesting, like Unmuddle calls itself the skills to jobs marketplace. So our whole focus is on how can we reduce learning to kind of the most basic element of like, what is the course you can take that's gonna get you a good job or onto a path. Mm-hmm. And of course, this is a, you were the original Cisco Networking Academies, but mm-hmm. I'm interested, to what degree are the academies and then Skills for All, I mean, obviously they're connecting to your certifications, to what degree are these programs integrated then into the both the sort of credit and non-credit sides of the house in the colleges?
Yeah, it varies. I mean, it varies. So if you look at, I think the great thing about these programs is they're very flexible. So mm-hmm. we're actually offering them within the prison population. And so it really kind of depends on what the college's credentialing sort of strategy and what the requirements are. So for example, with at Curtin University in Australia, they've used the Internet of Things Networking Academy content curriculum to connect with local business and with their engineering school. And then they're offering micro master's degrees from Curtin University. And it's based on the Cisco Networking Academy content and curriculum. So I think that's really the great thing because you can pick and pack from this curriculum and then build it into your own cybersecurity program. So I think that's the beauty of it because it can fit within whatever the community college's certification, credentialing requirements might be.
Yeah, wow, no, incredible. Joe, I could go on with another 50 questions. I think since this is your show, I probably should give you a chance.
Well, no, you know what? You're here and you could do whatever you want, Julian, I'll tell you what. But I'll appreciate that because Ray's kind of in control of a lot of stuff. And so key in on the global part for us, Renee. How global do you go? Are you working with higher ed institutions, U.S. or all over the I was going to say U.S. or all over the country. This is how good I am today. All over the world. And does it differ by region on what the needs are or by geography on what the needs are of higher education?
Yeah, we actually are a global team. So I have a global education team that spans across many different countries across the globe. I have a team specifically in the UK and Germany, and then also in Japan and Australia as well. We have teams in Latin America. And so we have this very connected strategy. And our overall strategy is really providing inclusive learning for all. And so as we're recovering out of the pandemic, Cisco's focused on, an inclusive recovery for all. And within our education team, we're focused on inclusive learning for all. So that is everything having to do with bridging the digital divide, helping schools to get, up online quickly. Luiss University in Italy is one example. I mentioned Curtin University. We do a lot of work across the globe. And it really is about working closely with them to understand what their goals and objectives are, and then to partner with them on how do they make that happen from a technology perspective. We always say the technology is kind of the easy part. The vision and the strategy and the culture and the methodology, sort of the pedagogical approaches, those are all difficult. And once they can figure that out and we help them to do that, then the technology becomes kind of second nature.
Amazing.
I love it. If you need a third-party delegate, another set of eyes to go to the University of Italy, let me know. I'll be happy to assist you in any way that you feel appropriate. That's great context because I always wonder what the needs and focus is of higher ed across the globe versus just in the United States. I think we're, ethnocentric to a degree in the U.S. We're just, we're looking at our issues. We have the value proposition question that's going on right now, and it's, a lot of technology companies are saying, hey, you don't need the college degree. And Cisco's in a really cool place because you're doing higher ed and you're in healthcare and you're in other industries. How does Cisco look at education and the value of a college degree and working with universities and colleges versus non-credit or short credit education, or is it just any?
Yeah, I mean, it's all of the above. I think what's the other thing that's important to just touch on that Cisco is truly an education company. So we grew out of education. We were founded on this, I don't know if you know this or not, but we were founded on the Stanford campus by two IT professionals at Stanford who were trying to figure out how to get their computers to talk with one another from two different buildings. And so
I'm glad they figured that out.
Yeah, they figured it out. Because now we have the internet. And so I think that that was really, you know, so that is true, again, truly, truly in our DNA. And so one of the, it's interesting, your question about what ties us together globally. I think, you know, we're focused on research and innovation. I mean, higher ed institutions are focused on research and innovation. Nobody can do that as they can. And so we have research at Cisco. We were founded on the Stanford campus. And then we just most recently, this is such an exciting program, helped to fund the Indy Autonomous Challenge just about 2 or 3 months ago. And so we had all of these universities and teams coming together to race autonomous vehicles, so autonomous race cars. And we were out there doing the wireless networking technology, the mesh, wireless mesh, all of the different things that would help these students to build these cars and to compete. And it was on the famed Indy Speedway. So I think that really is an exciting thing just about what universities are doing from a research and innovation perspective. But as mentioned earlier, Joe, we're really looking at where does learning happen? And so we're looking at that. We're looking at that everywhere. And that's why NetAcad has been so important, because again, whether it's in a prison population or underserved communities or existing colleges, universities, all the way down to the elementary school, I mean, the middle school level, we're trying to get students engaged and interested and excited about technology, because that's really where the future lies.
Love that.
So, yeah, so speaking of which, Renee, you've written a bit in the Cisco blog about the future of education. Mm-hmm. So where's this all going? 5 years, 10 years, what do you see in your crystal ball?
Well, it's an exciting question, because we talk about, you know, chips being implanted in our brains, right, Julian?
Yes.
And artificial intelligence and virtual reality and mixed reality. You know, I mean, there's so many different things that we see, but I think one of the most exciting trends right now is smart campus, and how are we designing the campuses of the future? So where do students spend their time on campus? What is the experience like, whether they're taking classes from home, from a coffee shop, from work, because they don't have enough time to go to campus? So I think smart campus is a really interesting one. And the connection with sustainability. So as we look at, you know, climate change and how we design campuses and how we're equipping students to learn about sustainability and pursue different degrees. So I think that's one major trend. I think another one is hybrid learning. You know, again, we're going to continue to see an evolution of hybrid learning so that it's better, it's easier, it's more robust, it's more engaging. Hybrid work. I mean, I think there are a lot of administrators who may not go back to campus at all, and they'll continue working from home. Joe, we talked a lot about esports. So I think that's another sort of technology for the future. And so I'm really excited about the future. And I think, you know, higher education is a part of that. And I think that's why it's a great place to be right now.
Oh, yeah. And one of the things we're working on that I'd love to talk further about sometime is, you know, so what part of the challenge with community colleges is they're this incredible resource, but you know, they were really not built as a system. They work in their communities. And so through our marketplace, these colleges become almost like an innovation lab, and they're working on things that a lot of people talk about but aren't really doing at any scale, i.e. stackable credentials, which I know you've talked about. But the other thing that really caught my eye in your March 30th blog was the whole notion of mix and match universities. And so the idea that someone can take one course in a college and that may get them on a pathway within that college, or multiple pathways across colleges that, you know, with the right kind of skills analytics could lead to many different kinds of careers and kind of fluidity and mobility. Interested, I mean, are you seeing particularly good work in those realms that you can speak to, you know, using your tools?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, so, you know, we talked a lot about NetAcad, but even things like coding boot camps. I love to tell the story about my older son, because we talked about my younger son, but my older son, who got a great degree from the University of Oregon in international studies and international business, and didn't like math. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, this is not going to be something that he ever pursues. He just wasn't, that wasn't what he was interested. Kind of like Joe. I mean, he had a hard time. He didn't like school.
Oh boy, here we go.
Yeah. So he had, you know, but what he did do is he got a couple of internships under his belt. He got a job promoting Google Glass as a contractor. He went to Google as a contractor. Then he went to another company, and was in sales and marketing and partner marketing and alliances. And then he said, you know what? I think I want to be a coder. And I said, a coder? What do you mean? He said, well, I want to go to a coding boot camp. So he went to this coding boot camp in Barcelona for nine weeks. And of course, I'm kind of a traditionalist. So I said, well, Tom, why wouldn't you like get a Master of Science in Computer Science? And he said, well, Mom, the opportunity cost is too high. I'm going to go do this 9 week thing. And I said, okay, fine. You know, let me know how it goes for you. So he comes back. He gets the job as a platform engineer at this company at Hotel Tonight that was purchased by Airbnb. And so now he has all of these different skill sets in his portfolio. He's 30 years old, and he has multiple different directions that he can go in his career based on that background and experience. So what we always talk about is, wouldn't it be cool if he could have done a coding boot camp in the summer, and if University of Oregon offered that?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of the way I think about these. You know, it's kind of like, what are the skills of the future? And then how can community colleges, four-year colleges say, hey, this is how we can help them to pick and pack, and these are the different programs we can offer, and we give them credit accordingly.
Amazingly, you're talking about opportunity costs. It's just mind-blowing sometimes, because I think about how many college students will roll through college, myself included. I just went. My parents said, you got to go to college. I went to college. And then when I was done, they said, oh, yeah, you owe this money. What are you talking about? I went and had a great time. What do you mean I owe money? I sold all my CDs to be able to eat. I don't owe somebody money. Oh, no, you got to pay all this. You got to pay all this money back. And I had no concept of like debt and opportunity cost. And it's just kids and young adults are so much smarter about the choices that they make. And we in higher education have to be really smart about how we offer that slate to people that want the non-traditional path. Okay, you want the traditional path, you can go, but having that pathway, no matter what you choose, which is of course part of our mission here at the EdUp Experience, is to champion and encourage people to pursue lifelong learning no matter the path they choose. You have to have the menu, so to speak, which is our challenge in higher ed.
So well said, Joe. I think you're spot on.
Yeah, and I don't know if you know this, Renee, but Julian made a huge mistake today. I'm going to keep hitting the button. I hit two buttons at once. I'm going to keep hitting it, because my final question is always, what do you see as the future of education, higher education? And Julian asked it. But that's okay. We're going to roll through, Julian. We'll talk later. No, you gave such a great answer, Renee. So instead, I'm going to ask you, first of all, Julian, do you have any other questions for Renee before I give her the final?
Yeah, well, no, it's almost a little bit more, I mean, just a little bit of a riff on the point you just made, which is, I think, you know, and even the story you're telling about your son, Renee, and I think of my son, the computer science major here at University of Rhode Island, who's basically gone off to like Udemy and elsewhere to take all these courses that are actually the skill, getting him the skills that are going to get him his first job. But it's also got different learning styles. And so it's, you know, and I know, you know, you talk a lot about kind of the hybrid. It's really helping the institutions learn how to to become more flexible and to reach different people in different ways and have it all add up.
Yes. And I think one of the interests, I think it's great. And oh, Joe, did you have a question or?
No, keep going, Renee.
So one of the most interesting things about Cisco has been their approach to hybrid work and flexibility and this new environment in which we find ourselves. And so I think you're absolutely right. And so just as universities need to be looking at personalizing the experience for students and creating flexibility and choice, I mean, that's really what Cisco has done. We had a lot of remote workers before the pandemic, but just watching how the company's been navigating through our employees to be able to make sure that we're informed and aware of what's happening. So there's been massive amounts of communication around, you know, what's happening with COVID, what's the status, what's our work, you know, reopening. We are so far ahead of so many other companies in terms of how do we get the most out of each individual employee, but importantly, making sure that they're doing it on their own terms and they're taking care of themselves, focused on health and well-being, and really being flexible about the approach. So I think that's been notable.
Yes, I agree. Renee, you've spoken so well about everything that you're doing at Cisco. So I'll leave with this final question of you, which is, what did Julian forget to ask you about today, about Cisco specifically. I know I asked everything I was supposed to ask, for sure. I know this. So what didn't we ask about Cisco? Anything that you want to say today about initiatives you have going on in the education or healthcare marketplaces that you service? Anything that you want to say in general, plugs you want to make? The mic is yours.
Yes, I would love to say. So as you could probably tell, I'm a huge fan of education and I'm a huge fan of Cisco. And so Cisco is really committed to positively impacting 1 billion people by 2025 as a part of our mission. So I love the fact that Cisco is mission driven. And as a part of our work, we really want to be able to inspire and empower this generation of what we call global problem solvers. And these global problem solvers are not only going to survive, but thrive in an increasingly complex and digital economy. So I think with the digital technologies that we see connecting devices and data and good ideas, we now have the ability to make a difference more quickly than ever before. And so we're super excited about the future. And we think that we have, you know, all the great things it takes to realize, help not only our colleges and universities realize success, but students and really our global citizenry. So we're excited about the future.
Love it. Well, I would first like to thank my guest co-host today, Julian. You're always a good sport. I appreciate, you know, how much I appreciate you and what you do as Chief Marketplace Engagement Officer at OnModel and the difference you're having in the lives of students. So I appreciate you coming back and I hope to have you again and again, my friend.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's great. Great. Really appreciate you having me here. And so great to meet you, Renee.
Yeah, Renee.
Really enjoyed that talk.
It's an absolute honor, Renee, to have you here on the EdUp Experience. You have no idea how much we appreciate you and your insights. There she is, ladies and gentlemen. Before I let you go, Renee, did you have a good time today?
Oh my gosh, I had so much fun, Joe and Julian. This was a wonderful, wonderful way to end a week and to head into the holidays. I couldn't be more happy. It's just so much fun spending time with you both. And I just want to thank you for what you do and for the opportunity. It really has been my honor to be here with you today. So thank you.
You are too kind. There she is, ladies and gentlemen. Renee Patton, she's Global Director of Healthcare and Education Industries at Cisco. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just ed-upped.
Are you using the right mix of channels to get in front of your audience? Is your messaging personalized and delivered in a medium your audience responds to? Are you spending more time building reports than listening in on what your audience wants? These are not easy questions to answer. That's why our great friends at MDT Marketing are offering a free audit of your marketing efforts. Head to www.mdtmarketing.com/edup and submit your information for your free consultation today. Look, guys, you got nothing to lose. It's free. I don't know why you wouldn't want a free audit to tell you what you're doing, whether it's effective, and how you can make some incremental changes that can make a big difference moving forward. That's www.mdtmarketing.com/edup.